96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This is our last Foodie Friday, and tonight we're talking about going back to nature and growing your own food. Whether you live in the city, the suburbs, or elsewhere, you can grow vegetables and herbs. How? Well, my guests are going to tell you. Carolyn Woods is a professional gardener based right here in D.C. She grows on her apartment balcony, believe it or not. And Margaret Morgan Hubbard is the CEO and founder of Echo City Farms in Prince George's County. Got a lot of good information coming to you tonight. And I will tell you, even before we started, Carolyn is already cutting up. And so we are looking forward to this conversation. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Carolyn and Margaret, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Harold. Glad to be here.
Okay, so let me start with Carolyn, since she was acting up before the show started. You are a master gardener?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Master gardener is, I got my certification at University District of Columbia about 30 years ago. It was, at one point I wanted to be a horticulturist. Mm-hmm. And I went straight different direction, went into the social services field, but I still love being in working in gardening. So UDC has this program, we still have it, mm-hmm. called You Become a Master Gardener.
So, but what does that mean?
Master Gardener means that you take so many courses that you have some knowledge of gardening, mm-hmm. as far as working with the soil, pesticides, plants, herbs, flowers, mm-hmm. You get a certification, it's like a 12-week program. After you finish the program, you get
a green thumb.
Green thumb.
Yeah, which is most important.
Accelerated green thumb.
Accelerate, maybe two. Green, green thumbs and green big toes. And, you know, a lot of people of a certain age, they will say, well, you know, my grandparents, they grew their own food, whether it was down south. My grandparents did down south, but also when they lived in Southeast Washington, Margaret. And are you finding a lot of people are trying to go back to nature and grow their own food?
I think people are. And we not only grow food at our two farms, but we also train people to grow food. And we train people to become urban farmers, which is what we do. And each year there are more and more people who come, and we have literally hundreds and hundreds of volunteers who come and are anxious to try to just do any kind of work on our farm.
Mm-hmm. Why would you say that it is important for people to try to grow their own food? Margaret.
Well, first of all, I think that locally grown and naturally grown food is 100 times healthier than food. I'm on the radio. Okay. I'm on a train.
Oh.
And I was just told this is a quiet car.
Oh, well, I tell you what, I'm going to let you take care of that, and I'm going to continue to have a conversation with Carolyn. So, Carolyn, why would you say it's important for people to grow their own food?
Well, picking up where Margaret was started, I would say the food tastes better, is better for your health, as she stated, there's less pesticides, and it gives you a sense of, self-esteem and confidence that you grew your own food. You'd have to go to the grocery store. It's less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's times around my garden on my balcony, I grow collard greens.
Your balcony?
Yes, in 5-gallon containers. Collard greens, kale, tomatoes, basil, onions, lavender, oregano, all on my balcony, thyme. And it gives you a sense of confidence. And just, you've grown the stuff, pick it from your garden, from your balcony, and take it to your kitchen, wash it and clean it and eat it. It's just very empowering.
But here's the thing that I often wonder. I remember watching my grandparents grow food in their backyard garden right there off of East Capitol Street in Southeast DC. And my grandmother and grandfather, they grew tomatoes, they grew squash. They even had corn back mm-hmm. there and what they call pole beans and those kinds of things. But it doesn't that require a lot of work?
No. Pole beans, you grow all that you just mentioned in containers on a balcony or in the ground or in a container. Pole beans you can grow in a container. Tomatoes you can grow in a container. Excuse me. You mentioned squash. Mm-hmm. Grow that in a container. Among spinach, broccoli, cauliflower, all in containers.
Wow. Gosh, that's amazing. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is our last Foodie Friday, and we're talking about going back to nature and growing your own food. How is it done? My guests say that it is easy. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Margaret, let me start with you. How does one get started with growing your own food? I have a backyard, but my concern would be animals. My mother used to grow strawberries over here in Prince George's, and the deer and the rabbits used to eat them.
Yeah, we do share food with other animals sometimes. But I'd say that
You know what, Margaret, we're going to let our technician try to handle your phone call because we are getting a little breakup there. But I'll continue with Carolyn.
Okay.
Carolyn, how do you get started?
Well, you get started, the first thing I would say to get your soil tested first to make sure your soil is okay.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know if you're in D.C. or Maryland, Virginia.
In Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you go to your nearest department, whether it's in PG County or Montgomery County, and have them do a soil testing. I don't know the criteria how you do it in Maryland, but that's the first thing I would suggest: get your soil tested. After that, you would get some soil, some topsoil. You would decide what type, how large you want your plot. You would decide what you want to grow, and you have to make sure you have nice, good sun, full sun.
Mm-hmm.
Full sun the better. Because all veggies love full sun.
Right, sun okay. and water.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. And you make sure you water it, you know, more on a regular basis, every day. And if you start from seeds, you need to start that process usually from January, February. The easiest way to get seedlings at your nearest nursery. And the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to the phone lines
okay.
real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about growing your own food, whether it's in your backyard or in pots on your balcony of your apartment. Danielle, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Go
ahead.
Hi, this is Danielle. I'm calling because I do try to follow, you know, going back to nature and eating. Like, I've been vegan for a little over 2 years, and I want to do the gardening thing. However, I don't know which soil to buy. When I've tried it before, the soil has either dried out very quickly or either it has started to mold within, like, a day or two. Can you tell me why I may have encountered that issue?
Okay, Danielle, thank you for calling. First thing I would say, Danielle, what type of pot are you using?
Some of the ones where I saw it mold in the water were where you can get like the herbs, like the green onions where you just clip in the bottom, or like parsley or things like that, where you can just grow it by sticking it in a mason jar of water.
Okay.
But it'll happen within like a day or two. You'll start to see it start to turn a little bit. So I just didn't know what to happen. The only time I've been successful was when I've actually planted in the ground. But that was when I was in an actual house and I was able to do that. But in an apartment, I have been unsuccessful.
Well, my experience, Danielle, is I use a container and I will put some gravel at the bottom of the pot, and then I will put a little bit of perlite at the bottom.
Now, what is perlite?
Perlite is a very light type of ingredient. It's simulated like real lightweight stones.
Okay.
And makes the container lighter. And then I would use potting soil, Danielle. So good, great
Pine
potting soil.
Potting soil. Oh, potting soil.
Potting soil.
Okay.
But the larger the container, the better. And
okay.
Make sure you have full sun.
Okay.
Say in the summertime, of course, you have to, with a container, you have to water more often than usual.
Okay.
Danielle.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about growing your own vegetables and herbs. How do you do it? Let's go to Gerald. Gerald, thanks for calling from Northeast DC. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been growing my garden right here in my driveway here in Northeast Washington for about maybe 8 or 9 years. And I get my topsoil from down Percival, Virginia, along with my fertilizer. It's called TLC, and it's the only place I can get it. And everything, the results are incredible. But I wanted to know, I constantly use Epsom salt to put in my, I use recycling bins, and I have like 14 of them, and all of them are filled with vegetables when I'm growing my garden. And I use Epsom salt to kind of keep the insects out of there, or whoever, you know, whatever insects are trying to, you know, gnaw at my collard greens and my cucumbers and things like that. Is that a good idea to keep doing that?
Gerald, thank you for calling. I've never used Epsom salt for all vegetables. I have used Epsom salt for tomatoes. Epsom salt is an excellent fertilizer for tomatoes. I've never used it for the other vegetables. However, I have heard people talk about using Epsom salt for the pests, but I've only used the Epsom salt myself with tomatoes.
Okay, great. I appreciate that. I enjoy, it's nothing like having your own garden in your
yes.
own backyard. Sometimes it's typical of me to just get out there and take off a cucumber, slice it right there in my driveway with a nice cold beer and some salsa music.
Yeah, I hope you have nice neighbors.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, because that may be an issue, but you may end up with no cucumbers one day. But
Gerald, thanks a lot. Thanks for the information. You have a great Easter holiday, okay?
You
Gerald,
too.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So here's the thing. You've described, Carolyn, you have a veritable produce section on your balcony. But what should someone start with? Let's say you want collard greens.
Okay.
Everybody likes collard greens. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I want to grow some collard greens, but I love to cook. And so I also do want herbs. I do want oregano. I would like to grow perhaps some green onions and the like. Are all of them equally easy to grow, or do you have to tend to some things more than others?
They're all easy to grow in containers. Everything you mentioned is easy to grow. Collard greens, oregano. Now, there's some nurseries, I won't mention any names, but there are nurseries here in the area that actually have, well, not collard greens, but I've seen they have containers like for tomatoes already in a container for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about planting the tomato in a container. It's already done for you. I've seen containers that have the herbs in them already. And all you just give them sun and water mm-hmm. and watch them grow. Give them full sun, water them. When they get dry, put your finger, your middle finger in it, stick your finger in there. If it's dry, water it.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is, it's very easy. There are plenty of websites out there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main ones I like to use is going to the Farmer's Almanac.
Okay.
Farmer's Almanac is full of information for new growers, for DC residents. There are so many classes in the city on different gardening topics. I can give, you know, to you.
And any information that you share with us, I'm going to be posting
on
our website on WHUR.com. So fear not, you know, my intrepid farmers out there, city farmers and suburban farmers, we're going to make sure that we have plenty of information for you. What about seeds? What if I want to, you know, if I slice up a lemon, or if I just to experiment,
yes.
I want to slice up a lime or something like that. Do you just put it in soil, cover it, and water it? Is it really that simple?
Well, honestly, I haven't had much luck with that. I've been trying myself with lemons and Meyer lemons with mm-hmm. the seeds. I haven't had much luck with that. I have had luck with kale seeds.
Kale seeds. Really?
I bought kale seeds in January. I right now have 50 kale seedlings growing in my apartment right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be gifting them out to my friends and family.
And radio friends as well.
right.
I would imagine so. Yeah, you know, this is really, really fascinating to me. But I want to let our listeners know that we're going to be taking your phone calls even after 7:30. We've got a lot of folks on the line who want to get some information. So please, if you're on the line, do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. We're going to have lots of great information about how to make your garden grow, big or small. And if you have any questions, particularly about bugs, pests, weeds, all of those things, just give us a call. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your phone calls in just a bit at 202-319-7810. On Sirius XM Channel 141, I'm Harold Fisher. This is our last Foodie Friday, and we're talking about growing your own food. My guests are Carolyn Woods. She's a professional gardener based in D.C., and she actually grows her vegetables and her herbs on her apartment balcony. We're going to connect again with Margaret Morgan Hubbard, the CEO and founder of Eco City Farms in Prince George's County. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Bob, calling from West Virginia. Bob, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, I'm also a master gardener here in West Virginia in Jefferson County.
Okay.
And I wanted to share a growing technique that I've been using for the past 2 years. I grow everything in straw bales.
Hold on, Bob. For city slickers like me, what is a straw bale?
Well, you'd go to your basic, Southern States or hardware store. Some of them have straw bales. It's where they harvest the straw and put them in bales to feed their livestock.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got you. Usually I see like bales of hay, but usually those things are pretty large. I would imagine you're talking about something smaller.
Well, no, they're the same size, but if you live in the city and have an apartment, you may only need one.
Okay.
And what you're going to do is you're going to do what's called square foot gardening. Mm. So whatever the package says, that's how many seeds you would put in the square foot on the straw bale.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Bob. For those of us who want to try that straw bale, you know, anything that works. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Andrea, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
I'm just fine.
I thank you. This is a wonderful on-time topic, and I always enjoy the show, always.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. Go right
thank
ahead.
Thank you. This is a question for Ms. Woods,
mm-hmm.
Carolyn Woods.
Yes.
I understand that you're a professional master gardener. What is your contact information?
Oh, how can she get
yes,
in contact?
Yes, I'll give my email address, my last name, W O O D as in David, S underscore C as in cat at hotmail.com.
Okay. Yeah. And the reason why I'm saying that is I am an executive director of a nonprofit.
Okay.
This is part of our green training initiative where we're looking to actually purchase land as therapy, gardening as therapy, as well. There are different programs that we're working on dealing with mental health, autism spectrum, as well as helping to feed the community that we're serving in. And what you're talking about is a wonderful thing, and we're looking for advisors to partner with us and work with us as we're doing this. And my next question, and I am going to be reaching out to you definitely,
is,
are there any local seed banks where they're doing the seed saving, especially for the heritage seeds?
Now, what is that? What is a seed bank, Carolyn?
It's on the premise, it's like a library. People actually can take seeds of things that have not been cultivated in a while. What you're finding is that there are a lot of strains that are going down where there could be 500 varieties, and then it goes down to two because they find those are the two most popular. So what people are doing around the world are saving the older seeds, and they'll grow the crop and save the seeds, and they bank them for other people to actually grow them and then return seeds.
Okay, let me see what Carolyn has to say about that.
Well, that is, I know of the concept. I've never utilized that concept personally.
Okay.
I do have a contact person. When you get in contact with me, I can give you a person here in the D.C. area that might have more information about the seed banking. I don't know that personally, much information about it. I've heard of seed banking, but I have not utilized that myself on a personal note.
Okay. I didn't know if there was anything local that you knew of, since you are actually the boots on the ground and you're ear to the ground.
Well, Andrea, I will let you reach out to Carolyn for those resources, and I would say not only for those people who may have you know, mental health challenges, but also for regular folks, understand that gardening can be pretty therapeutic, you know, even of itself. So,
definitely.
Andrea,
cool.
Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Crystal, calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling, Crystal. What's on your mind?
Okay, two questions, and I hope I'll be able to stay on the line and hear you.
Yes, you will. Absolutely.
Okay, so one of the callers or a guest mentioned containers. I'd like to know specifically what she refers to as container. And then also, is there a concern about GMO versus non-GMO seed? Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry, can you repeat the first question again, please,
she
about the containers?
About what kind
what
of containers?
What type of containers? I use, I get containers from these 5-gallon containers from Home Depot. They're plastic.
Oh, the ones that the big
the 5-gallon,
orange
right, right. The white ones, right.
Yeah.
And you raise a good question about so I use those type of containers. Have had great success with them, and you can use any kind of container. You can use ceramic, plastic, and experiment with. I use some ceramic containers. I use some plastic. Your second question, I know about GMO. I cannot really, talk about that directly. I know about the GMO, the non-GMO. I personally use organic seeds.
Where can you get organic seeds?
Yeah, several nurseries have them. Even Home Depot has some, Lowe's, Mom's, Whole Foods,
mm-hmm.
Other different nurseries that has to say organic on the container.
What would be the difference between, say, organic seed and just a regular seed, if there is such a thing?
Well, my personal experience with organic is that I've had less pest.
Why is that?
That's a good question. Now that I don't know the answer to that question. But I know I've used non-organic seeds and non-organic plants. I have more pest on my plants.
I see.
But with organic, I haven't had any pest with my plants.
Okay. Crystal, thank you so much for your, you know what, Crystal, here's another question that you may be interested in, because this is a thing that just kind of came to mind. If you're using those large 5-gallon mm-hmm. containers. What do you put in them? And do you put holes in them so that they drain? How do you get them together? How do you dress them up before you start planting?
Well, you bring up a good question. Yes, I put holes at the bottom of the container. But again, I would mention on a previous caller, I put the gravel, light gravel at the bottom with some perlite to keep the container light, and use a good quality potting soil, mm-hmm. not topsoil, not garden soil. They're heavier. So,
you mean like a Miracle-Gro or something like that?
Yeah, potting soil, yes. Mm-hmm. Right. And you want to make sure that container has proper drainage. Mm-hmm. And me living in an apartment with a balcony, I have to make sure that my water is not draining on my neighbors underneath me.
Yes, because I would not be happy with
exactly.
you if that were to happen.
Exactly. Yeah, so you have to make sure you have to have a tray underneath that container.
Okay. All right. Well, we thank Crystal so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about growing your own fruits, vegetables, and herbs without having to go to the store. So now here's the thing. For somebody like me, I cook every single weekend. And I like flavor. Mm-hmm. Can you grow enough herbs for that kind of cooking, or is it just too much? I mean, you know, like oregano, I do like a lot of oregano if I'm cooking something. I did mention cilantro, but thyme, for example, and some of the other like rosemary, those kinds of herbs. Can you grow enough to use every weekend?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes. I have a friend here in the D.C. area. I was helping her last summer. She lives by herself. She had so much herbs that she grew. She grew too much. Parsley, cilantro, rosemary, thyme. She grew so much. She said, this year I won't grow as much, but she had so much. I was taking bags of it home to my apartment. Mm-hmm. Now, the balcony, I can grow that, but of course, she had a larger space.
Okay.
So she had so much she was growing, and not in a container, but in the ground. So yes, emphatically, Leah, yes, you can do that.
Now, pests. Everyone's concerned about the little ones as well as the big ones. Let's talk about the bugs. How do you keep the bugs from eating your collards and your kale and the other big leafy vegetables that you grow?
There's some pests are good pests. So it depends what type of pest you're talking about.
Well, one that I don't have to feed.
Okay. One of the biggest pests that I've seen in my experience is aphids. The aphids. Aphids love, I had a problem with my greens with aphids, my greens and my collard greens. So basically I would just make I don't like a lot of chemicals. Okay. So I'll make a homemade remedy with dish detergent. Put some water in there, some dish detergent, and just spray the back of the leaves and get the aphids off of those collard greens. I would also use cayenne pepper to help with my vegetables, because a lot of the aphids do not like cayenne pepper.
I was going to say I cook with cayenne, but you're talking about before you pluck.
Exactly.
Them.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Now, so how do you use the cayenne?
Just sprinkle it around the soil inside, around the plant.
It won't hurt the plant?
No, it won't hurt the plant at all.
Okay.
And then also, I know when I had a community garden last year, there's a lot of squirrels would come around, squirrels and rabbits, and we would have to put, not just the cayenne pepper. You can sprinkle cayenne pepper on the ground, but when it rains, that will get rinsed away. So some of the gardeners and myself, we would actually put the whole cayenne pepper around the plant. Mm-hmm. Because if we do that, that would probably, unfortunately, it would irritate the little paws of the rodents coming to your garden.
Yeah, well, they're not invited to dinner.
Right,
so,
exactly.
So that I don't have a problem with
exactly.
that.
Okay. Exactly.
So now, let's talk about some of the heavier vegetables.
Okay.
Squash, tomatoes, and cucumbers. And pardon my ignorance, because I seem to remember tomatoes grow on vines, and there were these cages, fences,
yes.
metal wire cylinders.
Right.
When do you use those, and how are they used?
Okay. Again, you can grow tomatoes in a container. As soon as you put that tomato inside of a container, you need to put that cage around it because it's going to get tall, depending on what variety you have. Most of them, there's some big boys that get very tall. There's some medium varieties that get medium size tall, but you need to put that container around the little small plant because it's going to grow tall very fast.
Okay. But if you don't, what happens?
It gets harder to maintain it and manage it to put that cage around it because that cage helps to train it to grow straight up.
Instead of spreading.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly. And you can also grow cucumbers like in a teepee. If you get like a cage, you can use a cage or a trellis for cucumbers and grow and train it to grow up on the trellis. And the cucumbers will grow, cucumbers will actually grow straight down. I've seen that done. I've not done that myself, but I'm planning to do that this year. Usually in my experience, I would grow cucumbers on the ground. They spread on the ground, but I've seen people have shown me you can actually grow them in a container growing up on a trellis in shape of a teepee growing straight up on the trellis.
Now, squash.
Same thing.
Trellis or ground?
Both. You can do either one. You can do the ones, ground or a trellis in a container.
As I'm talking about this, I'm starting to get hungry, but I've got to take a break. But when we come back, I'm interested in finding out how long does it take for vegetables to grow from seeds to harvest? Because a lot of people who've never done this before, I'm sure, and maybe I'm exaggerating just a bit, they want to put the seeds in, cover them up and water them, and then after a week, they're ready to eat. Obviously, there needs to be some more time. We'll be back in just a minute. We are talking about growing your own herbs and vegetables, taking you back to neighbor, get nature, get Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is our last Foodie Friday, and we're talking about growing your own food. My guest is Carolyn Woods. She's a professional gardener based right here in D.C. She grows vegetables and herbs on her apartment balcony, believe it or not. So, all right, Carolyn, one other thing before we get to how does the garden grow? We spoke about dealing with pests. You mentioned there are good pests. What are the good pests?
Good pests are like worms.
Okay.
Worms, ladybugs, praying mantis.
Why is a ladybug?
Ladybugs
are cute, but other than that, you know.
Ladybugs, they like to eat aphids. So their favorite treat is aphids. Worms, of course, very good for the soil. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are scared of worms. And a lot of people won't garden because the first thing they tell me, the worms.
Okay.
That's the first thing I hear out their mouth is the worms. And worms are so good for the soil. They fertilize the soil so well. You need good soil.
Well, what about worms on your apartment balcony?
I get them.
You get them.
I get worms.
When you say you get them, do they come on their own or do you go out and get them? Or
sometimes I've got to get them to help fertilize my soil. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, okay.
But using organic soil, usually I don't need the worms. I learned that, you know, as trial and error. So there's no need. I usually don't have much problems with pests now, but in the past I've had a lot of problems with pests. And the main pests I've had problems with the aphids. But I noticed that with using non-organic vegetables versus organic vegetables was a problem with the aphids. That was my biggest problem with the aphids.
What about weeds?
Oh, weeds.
People have so many issues with weeds for their grass. I would imagine that it can be frustrating when you're dealing with weeds for your garden.
Right. Well, depending on what type of weed, you know, weeds really are edible if you don't put anything on them. Most weeds are edible. I'm not versed to tell you which ones are, but there are a lot of weeds out there that are really edible that you can really eat them.
Well, I will say this. I know dandelion leaves are edible.
Yes.
It's somewhat of a delicacy. Because dandelion greens, and don't just go and just pluck them. You need to figure out what it is that you need to do.
Exactly.
But with that said, you know, dandelion, the leaves, when you go to the grocery store, if you can find them, they're not cheap.
No, they're not.
They're very expensive. They're very, very delicate. They cook but they're delicious.
Yes, they are.
They really are delicious. But outside of that, the weeds that you don't want, how do you handle them?
Usually I would start using white vinegar.
And
white vinegar. White vinegar is very good to getting rid of weeds in an organic way, an environmentally friendly way, rather than using weed be gone. I would never use we be gone.
Too many chemicals for
you. Too many chemicals. I don't believe in chemicals, period. So my main friend for weeds usually is vinegar.
How do you do it?
Just take some vinegar, put some water in there, and you know, in a bottle, a spray bottle, and spray the vinegar around the weeds. Or get your pair of gloves and get yourself a little trowel and start just digging around the, you know, dig up the weed yourself. Another way you can do it is get some, they have things in the, like in Home Depot or Lowe's, where you can get these, plastic things that you can put around your plants to keep the weeds down.
I see.
I forgot the name of it, but mm-hmm. it's something you can get, you can actually put around your plants to keep the weeds down so you don't have to keep working on weeds. But, like myself, I love weeds. It's very therapeutic to go out there and weed.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the gardening, the weeding is part of my therapy.
Right.
The weeding.
Exactly. Yeah, what we were talking about before with the lady who called. But wait a minute. So if you're using the white vinegar on the weeds, what impact will white vinegar have on the plants or the vegetables that you are trying to grow?
No impact whatsoever. Vinegar will not affect the plants at all.
Interesting.
No, it will not.
Okay. So here we go. Let me just pick big thick leaf collard greens.
Okay.
From when should one start to plant them, and what's the process?
From a seedling or from a seed?
Both.
Okay. From a seed, I would start, because I'll give an example of myself doing kale. I have kale seeds. I started those in January.
Okay.
And so now January, some people probably have theirs in the ground already. I was waiting for the last frost to pass before putting them out in a container. So it probably would take a good 60 to 90 days for it to mature. If you get a seedling, the seedlings, I'm not sure they're out yet. I'm not sure if the frost, I think the last frost is getting very close. I think
so
it's going to be next.
And what is a seedling?
A seedling is a small little plant.
Okay.
Small little plant. A baby plant. So those probably, when the last frost passed, I'm sure a lot of the nurseries, local nurseries will be having those seedlings out. And Home Depot, Lowe's, Moms will have those seedlings out, put those in the ground. And that probably would take about 60 days for it to become a mature plant.
Now, you say mature plant. Does that mean that it is ready to be harvested?
Yes. Some people like to eat the kale or collard greens when it's young, a young leaf. You can, you know, when it's like medium size. I use to harvest it probably in the last part of July, August.
Mm-hmm.
When I start harvesting the kale and the collard greens.
But I could start this weekend.
Yes, you could. Well, the last frost has passed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now here's the other thing. Let's say that, and you mentioned kale. How do you harvest kale or collards or something like that mm-hmm. when you're growing it in a small place? Do you cut it? Do you pull it out? Because how do you do that?
I just take a pair of scissors and just cut it, or just tear it off. I would go straight to my balcony, tear off some leaves. I'm making my green smoothie every day.
Mm-hmm.
Use the kale, a couple leaves, just break it off with my hand.
But you don't want to pull out the root.
No, just cut a piece, just tear off a piece of the leaf, and it will grow back. Kale and collard greens will keep reproducing over and over again the whole summer, all the way until it gets cold outside.
Okay.
And matter of fact, I left my kale outside all winter and still is out there. I can still all winter just go over there and just tear off some kale or collards and have kale and collards all season, all summer, all winter.
That's amazing. How expensive is this process for when you're talking about soil and the buckets and seeds and all of that? It still seems a bit complex to me, but is it expensive?
Well, that's relative, because it depends on if you're in an apartment versus living with a house, with a yard. It depends how much you want to grow. I think I had 5 kale plants and 3 collard plants. I think I've spent less than $50.
Mm-hmm.
Less than $50.
Mm-hmm.
So some people I see it expensive, some I say, oh, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like too terribly
no.
much.
You know, a kale plant you buy in the store or collard, I think it's I think each head costs like $2.99 a bunch. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very reasonable to grow it yourself versus getting in the store. Because like I said before, with kale and collard greens, when you grow it yourself, it'll keep coming back. You tear it off, it'll keep coming back.
We've spoken a lot about green leafy vegetables, but what about root vegetables?
Okay. Like
potatoes, carrots, and the like, more difficult?
Now, I have not grown those. Mm-hmm. I have not had experience of growing those. I hear they're very easy. I would like to try my hand at growing broccoli, which is also another underneath ground vegetable, root vegetable, which you can grow in containers. I never tried potatoes before. I've never tried carrots before. Mm-hmm. I hear they're very pretty easy to grow, and you can grow. I know you can grow carrots in a container. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the potatoes, but I do know. So I really can't say. I've never had that experience of growing either one of those vegetables before. Mm-hmm. But however, I can give you the information for Farmer's Almanac, and they can this.
No, I'm going there. I'm definitely going to look, because one of the mm-hmm. other things when you're talking about root vegetables, I buy a lot of ginger.
Okay.
I buy a lot of it, and you know, depending on where you go, mm-hmm. ginger can be expensive or it can be mm-hmm. cheap.
Right.
But I'd like to also, you know, try my hand at ginger. Also, maybe. Spring onions, you know, depending on how green or not green your thumb is, you got spring onions in your yard anyway. Are those the same ones?
They tell me they are. I've never grown spring onions before. That's what I've been told. Mm-hmm. I've been told that. I hear they're pretty easy to grow.
Yeah. And like I said, those are those kinds of weeds mm-hmm. that a lot of people deal with. We've talked a lot about do's. Let's talk in these last 3 minutes about don'ts. Things that you should not do to make sure that your fruits or vegetables or what have you are well grown and
okay.
healthy.
Okay. Well, definitely I would not use, like I said before, if you're using containers. Now we're talking about container gardening.
Container gardens.
I would use a good potting soil, mm-hmm. not a gardening soil, not a topsoil. That's the first thing I would do. I would not use one of those type of soils. I would not use a pot that does not have any drainage in the bottom of the pot.
Okay.
Okay. I would not use hot water when you're watering your plants. Your water should be either lukewarm or cool. Do not use warm water.
Why? I would imagine why it would damage the plant.
I would probably put the plant in shock.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
I personally would not use, for the environment, I would not use any, if you can help it, I would, as far as using any kind of chemicals. Okay. If you have to use a chemical, I would use insectal soap.
Insectal soap?
Insectal soap. It's more environmentally friendly mm-hmm. than using something else more a chemical that's stronger mm-hmm. if you have to use a type of so we're not using strong chemicals for the plants.
How deep should you plant a seed? Let's say a small seed, one that, you know, that can fit easily in the palm of your hand.
Okay.
You know, how deep should you put the seed in the soil?
If you're putting it in your ground, mm-hmm. probably I would put it right underneath the surface of the ground and lightly cover it and then water it lightly. And usually the seed will probably, mature probably within 7 to 10 days, usually. Plant your seeds, you probably have to split them up because you have so many seeds there, you're going to probably have to separate them and spread them out a little bit, depending on how large your space is.
This is really fascinating. I'm going to write your email down too. I'm going to let you know. I'm going to grow something.
Okay.
I'll
look forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, I'm not going to go crazy, but maybe some oregano or something like that, something that I can put in all of those dishes. But I'm going to make sure that your information is on our website on whur.com, along with some of the other resources that you have shared with us. We lost Margaret Morgan Hubbard, unfortunately, but hopefully at some point down the road we can talk to her again as well. But Carolyn Woods, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming.
Thank you very much.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, March 30th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Iron Waller, Bobby Adams, and Bobby Patton. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and have a wonderful Easter weekend.